All right, on today's AI Roundup, we're going to be putting on our critical thinking hat so that hopefully we can discern a little better some of these AI-generated images that are fooling the internet once again, and even a news outlet in this case. Also, Facebook is supercharging a large language model with over 4,000 spoken languages. And for today's use case, I'm going to be putting three different AI writing tools to the test to see which one floats to the top and gives you the best bang for your buck. What up, y'all? Phil Buck here again for another episode of AI Roundup. Today's going to be really fun because we're going to get into some stories that cover one of my favorite subjects, the ridiculous images that people generate with AI to pull one over on the internet, and even more apparently. But before we get into that, I do want to give you all the caveat that I use three different AI writing tools on today's show to summarize some of my articles. And if you're interested to see which one did the best, make sure you stick around to the use case on today's episode, where I'll let you know out of the three, ChatGPT, Notion AI, and Copy.ai, which one I found to be the most useful and most affordable. That being said, let's jump into our actual impact story about a AI-generated image of an explosion at the Pentagon. All right, in our actual impact story for today, from CNN by Donnie O'Sullivan, verified Twitter accounts shared a fake AI-generated image of an explosion near the Pentagon, leading to confusion and a brief dip in the stock market. Twitter's verification system, just another indicator that it's not very reliable anymore. False reports of the explosion made their way onto a major Indian television network, and local officials later confirmed that there was no such incident that occurred at the Pentagon, but it didn't stop the Dow Jones Industrial Average from dropping about 80 points and fully recovering in just a few minutes. So let's take a look at this. This is a AI-generated image of an explosion near the Pentagon, at least we presume so. It does seem to have all the hallmarks of an AI-generated image. Experts in the article point out that if this was Photoshop, you'd have some other things that you could point to that this was fake, like that the smoke wouldn't really be visible through the fence, and that's debatable. But I think this is really interesting because looking at the image, I don't even see the Pentagon in this image. And if you're looking at my story headline image that we use for the actual impact story today, you'll notice I had a hard time getting AI to even generate the Pentagon building. It made a bunch of other shapes of buildings and it never really quite nailed it. So I don't know what's going on there. But I do think this story is relevant because we've covered these before, and usually I laugh because people should really, I would think, be able to discern better. But in the same note, I actually saw a ton of other stories this week along the same lines, such as this gardener that has a gigantic strawberry. This image was shared without any ironic intentions, completely just social media pages thinking that this is real, getting millions of reactions and shares. On top of that, previously, about a week ago, I saw this image of a man doing a sand sculpture of a woman that this was also shared by some popular social media pages. And it's interesting because this one, I mean, it has real hair there. I don't know how people don't notice that. Like, did this guy go and put extensions on the sand sculpture? No. Another one that's been making the rounds this week that was even picked up by major publications, Elon Musk kissing a robot. People, for some reason, believing that Elon is actually having a relationship with artificial intelligence robots. Really strange to me. I mean, I'll be honest, this image, if you're looking for the wrong amount of fingers and that kind of stuff, you know, you don't see those things that are usually red flags in this. But I mean, generally speaking, I don't take this at face value, anything related to Elon Musk. I guess it's pretty easy to wonder if it's real or not anymore. But yeah, so going back to the Pentagon story, I think what we're seeing here is a real lack of critical thinking skills. It's something that we've talked about on the show before, something that we've discussed in the writer's room that we're worried about. You know, we see the use of ChatGPT in schools and kids not really having to use critical thinking skills, or they can turn to an LLM chatbot and, you know, get the answers for the things that they're supposed to be learning in school. Well, now we're just seeing in the general public, people aren't taking the time to look at an image and use context clues for all the other sources of information around you that would tell you if this is real or not. I think what's even worse in this case is that, you know, seeing news outlets or even just, you know, less reputable but still very influential is these large social media pages that they are not held to any sort of journalistic standard, but they have millions of followers and they're just seeing an image and taking it at face value, doing very to little, if any, you know, scrutinization. They just are kind of like, wow, look at this guy with this giant strawberry. Look at this sand sculpture. And they go post it. And, you know, if those people are not willing to even take the time to, you know, be kind of a gatekeeper against this misinformation, then I honestly hear why people get so concerned about what AI can do. And I guess the point of this story for me is that since we're seeing the actual impact of AI on the news, on social media, it's just, once again, if you're somebody watching the show, man, please try to encourage people to learn about this stuff. Like, let them know that it's out there and that, you know, as always, if it seems like it's too good to be true, it probably is. I don't know why people aren't taking that more to heart on the internet more than ever, because it's always been true. You could always Photoshop something, you could always just lie about something and, you know, pull one over on people. And with the help of these AI generated images, it's only getting worse. So if you're seeing these stories come your way, I'd love for you to share some of your favorite ones. You know, I get a kick out of these because I almost immediately know that they're fake, but a lot of people aren't. So, you know, maybe we need to have like a weekly debunking where we just show a bunch of stuff that is clearly fake that is getting over on people. Hey, that sounds like it could be a pretty useful service. Anyway, if you've got some of those, hit me up in the MMN Discord. I think it would be fun to take a look, and hey, maybe that's something we can start doing in the roundup. That being said, let's move on to our next story for the big picture, with Meta releasing a new gigantic language model. All right, next up, in a story from Engadget by Will Shanklin, Meta has developed an AI language model, Massively Multilingual Speech, or MMS, that recognizes over 4,000 spoken languages and produces speech in over 1,100 languages. Meta is open sourcing MMS to help preserve language diversity and encourage researchers to build on its foundation. Meta used Wave2Vec 2.0 to train on unlabeled audio from religious text to increase the model's available languages to over 4,000. MMS achieved half the word error rate compared to OpenAI's Whisper, but covered 11 times more languages. And Meta, of course, cautions that its new models aren't perfect and there is some risk that the speech-to-text model may transcribe select words or phrases, resulting in offensive and or inaccurate language. And I think we've always seen that to be the case with all these language models. They are far from perfect. They're actually very often flawed, which, stay tuned, we'll get to some of that in the use case here. But I do want to say, I think this is super exciting, and I really want to say that we should, I don't know, I wouldn't hardly ever say this, but give Meta a pat on the back that, you know, they are doing these moves with these big models as open source. As we covered earlier on the show, you know, we're seeing a shift to the open source where people that, you know, just users at home with not super powerful computers are able to retrain these models to do amazing things, stacking up things like LoRAs on top of the models so that they're much more efficient, much more diverse in their use. And now I think it's super exciting to see one that is as powerful as this MMS that can do so many different languages. I'm very curious to see what the open source community is going to do about this. You know, I think it's interesting that a lot of different companies that are developing these large language models seem to hold so much of the power right now because they're investing infrastructure and capital into training gigantic models. I'm wondering if we're starting to reach the tipping point where there is enough of these gigantic models to begin really stop making them, right? I mean, obviously there is going to be a time in the future where there's way more information on the internet than there was today, and maybe that's a time again to make another large language model trained on a whole new set of data that wasn't available at this time. But I think right now, the fact that we've seen so many companies like OpenAI, Google, Microsoft, in conjunction with OpenAI and Meta now, spending their time and their infrastructure to use these computers, massive amounts of computation going into training these models on enormous data sets. I think it's exciting to see that this one, it does set itself apart by being such a multi-language model. But I'm wondering, how many more of these models are they going to keep training and releasing? We just saw the Palm 2 come out of Google's I/O event, and that was an exciting announcement because it does seem to be more powerful. But again, knowing that Meta is pushing the open source, I hope that some of these other companies will stop being so opaque and doing the same thing, because at the end of the day, what I've always tried to say about this show is it's about learning and finding the ways to make these things responsible and usable for the public. It shouldn't just be in the hands of the most powerful companies. And now that we're seeing that these things are out there and they're able to be trained in more efficient ways and, more nimble ways, where people can do this even on a pretty beefy laptop. You don't have to have a GPU farm. I think it's pretty exciting. And for me, it's just the tip of the iceberg. I get excited about the stories like at the top of the show with the AI generated images, because we've already seen the open source power really at works in the image generating space. I think that one is the one that often gets more attention because it is such a spectacle. But even behind all the flash and the sizzle of AI generated images, you're seeing something really cool that's arising out of open source work. People are taking the resources that, giant companies with a ton of resources that you and I don't have at home on our own computers, they're able to take that stuff and do a lot more of it. They're able to do a lot more with it than really we would ever anticipate. So I'm super curious, since this is open source, if anybody else is playing with it out there. Once again, I am behind on the large language model side of this, and it's something that I really would love to get into more. So if you have a great starting point, hit us up in the comments or send us an email at MSP Media TV on social media as well. Whichever way you want to reach out to us, I'd be happy to hear from you. And I'd love to try some of what you are getting into and see if I can, just get my hands dirty. And speaking of getting my hands dirty, it's time for my favorite part of the show, a use case. All right, so for today's use case, we really had a lot of fun. I want to send a shout out to Cez Gonzalez, our media editor for MMN. Because she turned me onto a couple of services that I had never tried before, and I was pleasantly surprised with the results. First, I want to go ahead and point to, if you've been watching MSP Dispatch, then you may have noticed that we do use some of these AI tools like ChatGPT to try to write our show notes and our show formats. And you may have even seen in some of the episodes or the outtakes how they weren't exactly working the way we expected. In fact, they were hallucinating, as they call it, the wrong information from the story, the wrong author of the articles. It was bizarre. So we had to kind of like change our approach, which is, a great point to say that if you're going to use any of these tools for any type of official capacity, please make sure you double check and proofread the results of whatever you have generated. Now for today's show, I put to the test ChatGPT Plus against Notion's AI, as well as Copy.ai. And I gotta say that this test was really fascinating. Basically, the way I ran this test is I took the story from the top of the show about the Pentagon fake AI generated image. I fed that article into all three of these, and I asked it to summarize it just to see how factually accurate it was, how fast they were, and if it was able to do anything like add some flair, change the tone to the story. And I gotta say that they all actually performed pretty similarly. It wasn't really the results of the copy that it generated that set them apart. In fact, if I understand correctly, they're probably all based on the same model underneath. I'm guessing a lot of these are using, a GPT API to power the technology, so you can't really expect a huge difference in the results. What I would say that really sets these tools apart is One, the price, most definitely. And two, the training wheels, or maybe the bells and whistles is another way to put it. First, let's review the pricing here. Okay, so ChatGPT Plus is $20 a month. It does not have all the bells and whistles that a lot of these other tools have because they're really focused more toward writing. I think what you'll see the value in your $20 a month from ChatGPT is that you get access to the new features like GPT-4, as well as plugins and browsing the net. So if you're not just focused on writing, then that $20 a month might be more valuable to you. If you are looking for a tool that is going to give you more power for writing, then you may enjoy that Notion AI is only $10 a month. And on top of that, you can get 20 free responses per member account. So you can even really jump in and start trying it right away. I think that for writers, both Notion AI and Copy AI probably stand apart from ChatGPT. Copy.ai is $49 a month, and it is a little bit less if you pay for it yearly, only $36 a month, but you gotta lay out a chunk of change to get that discount. On top of that, you can do 2,000 words a month for free on Copy.ai. You know, for my show, I'm not, you know, employed as a copywriter, so I was able to use all these for free. I did not have to sign up for any of them except for ChatGPT Plus, which I may have said on the show before. I have it just for the sake of experimenting. So let's talk about the features or the bells and whistles that maybe would set all these things apart besides just the price. You know, ChatGPT can do what these other tools do, which is, you know, basically with Notion AI and Copy.ai, you're seeing they have built-in tools to do a lot of the prompting for you. So maybe if you're not super experienced with a chatbot and you want something to really put the training wheels on to guide you in the right direction, you might enjoy Notion.ai because it's got the suggestions when you open up the AI menu to do things like summarize, like change the tone, like make it longer, like make it shorter. I found this one much more approachable just for the sake of, you know, writing an article, summarizing an article for the show notes. You know, Copy.ai offers a lot of the same features, and it has some really cool stuff built in where you can kind of just pre-train the model to do things. Like if you have like a marketing guide for your company that you want this chatbot to follow, you can feed that in ahead of time. You can even upload a PDF and it'll read it, so you don't have to copy paste or type all this stuff out, which is really cool. But for me, it felt like Copy.ai was really kind of like on an enterprise level. So as just a casual user, I did find Copy.ai to have a very bloated price, as well as just kind of above and beyond what I was trying to do. So that being said, you got to go try it out for yourself. Obviously, all these things have free versions that you can use to test them out. And you know, at the end of the day, I'm really impressed by Notion AI. I mean, as someone who is just working on documents to compile articles and stories for the show, it fit right in there where I needed it to be, and it's less than ChatGPT. So I'm kind of on the fence. I might stop paying for ChatGPT Plus. We'll see. I mean, some of these plugins are tempting to me, but I don't know. I haven't really, until that code interpreter comes out, I may not need it. Maybe I'll resubscribe. I'd love if you all try them out to sound off in the MMM Discord. Let me know what you think, or I'm sure there's plenty of other tools out there that we haven't touched on. So let me know what you're using. Maybe we'll do another test with these other tools that you guys suggest. And before we sign off for today, I'd love to tell you about some other events that have happened or are coming up on MMN. In case you missed it, we had the Tech Bar live at MSP GeekCon. While it was live for the attendees of the conference, it did not stream live, so stay tuned, you can see the recording on the network. Also, looking ahead into June on the 2nd at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 38 to 38, episode 13 will be coming, and that is the 1 year anniversary of the show, so we're going to be doing some fun stuff. Make sure to check that out. And as always, on Tuesdays and Fridays at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, MSP Dispatch, presented by the MSP Media Network.
Hi, I'm Aaron, and I'm a jobaholic. We all have something in common. We all have a worst job story. Each episode, I'll welcome one guest to share their most insane worst job story. And in return, I'll share one of mine. Join me the first Friday of every month for new episodes of 38 at 38.
And that is our AI roundup for today. Be sure to join the MMN Discord and follow us on social media at MSP Media TV. If you have any questions, shoot us an email at news@mspmedia.tv. or leave us a voicemail, 833-MSP-Network. All right, everybody, thanks for tuning in. This has been your May 24th edition of AI Roundup. I will see you next time.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.